You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and Andy Gibson on the latest edition, and we're looking ahead to Wednesday's racing. A very good afternoon to you, Mr. Gibson.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Very pleased to be in. I was in yesterday. I'm in again today, which is the 27th of August. Tuesday the 27th of August, looking ahead to tomorrow, aren't we? And also a little bit of what's gone before.
Yeah, we're going to talk about two races at Worcester shortly. They're coming up on Wednesday. A busy day's racing on Wednesday, actually. We've got Catterick and Lingfield and Musselburgh through the course of the afternoon. An evening racing coming from Worcester, from Kempton and also from Bellewstown. Kempton a little later than the others with an 8.55 finish. But make sure you tune into Racing Radio tomorrow. But I want to discuss what's happened in the past week or so, because it's absolutely flown by. This time last week we were looking ahead to York's Ebor meeting and action on the Knavesmire, and it has gone by in the blink of an eye. But we saw some almighty equine performances, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, and of course the thing from an enjoyment of the sport, the almighty performances have been absolutely fantastic. Like Logician's performance on the Wednesday, I thought was brilliant. He looks the obvious winner of the St. Ledger.
Yep.
Then you've got the very obvious one from Thursday, Mum's Tipple. You know, if the time of that race and the performance is to be believed, then, you know, you've got a, you know, at least a possibility of a champion sprinter of the future. You know, we can say that 37 times and it's only going to come to fruition 5 times or something. But nevertheless, Mum's Tipple did look special on Thursday in that one race. So from an enjoyment point of view, brilliant.
Yeah.
But of course, everybody's seen Logician, and I don't know what price he is from the St. Ledger, but it'll be very close to 6-4 or something like that, I'm guessing.
I think we mentioned him yesterday. I have a feeling it was 7-4. I'll just confirm.
So it'll be that sort of price. So you can't really benefit from seeing Logician, seeing what a very, very promising stayer he looked. You know, do you want to benefit from that, backing him at 6-4, 7-4? You know, personally not.
6-4 now he is.
Yeah. Mum's Tipple. You know, wherever Mum's Tipple goes next, the one thing for certain is that horse will be overbet. So we can't really benefit from them in the short term, but we can, you know, as lovers of the sport, we can enjoy them. So I think it's important to then try and look at something, look at a horse that it didn't work out for.
Okay.
And perhaps find reasons why that might be. And also look at a horse that put up a very thrilling looking performance that perhaps isn't as reliable as it might look. So, for example, on the Friday, we had Batash versus Ten Sovereigns, the big battle. And they had two different scenarios on the day. So Ten Sovereigns was clearly drawn on the wrong side of the track. The pace wasn't where he was. We only need to look at the horses and where they were drawn and where they finished. Ten Sovereigns also missed the kick. He was a little bit sluggish away. And, of course, the natural tendency now will be immediately to say that he was beaten because it was 5 furlongs, he was dropping back to 5, and he couldn't manage the 5, etc., etc. And when we look back at the July Cup, I think he led something like 3 furlongs out in the July Cup. So I think it's fairly unlikely that it was just the 5 furlongs that beat him. It might be the 5 furlongs on a flat track like York, where they just go helter-skelter from the off. But it also might be a combination of him being on the wrong side and being slowly away. And you look at the other side of the coin with Batash, who looked absolutely immense on the day, and not for the first time. Batash looked almost unbeatable on the day, and he looked like, well, how on earth has this horse been beaten over 5 furlongs if you just take that performance on its own merit? But of course, that's not the case. He's been beaten in 4 of his last 9 races. He's been beaten at prices of 2-1, 11-10, 4-5, and 9-4. And when you look at his winning prices, he's been odds on in 4 of his 5 victories. This last week was the first time he's won as an odds against horse.
Yeah.
In nine races. In his five successful races out of his last nine. He's a very hard horse to make money out of. And I think that's, to me, once he puts in a super impressive performance, there's little value in looking at that end of that side of the coin. We might, you know, the only value you're going to get is by looking at the other side of the coin and saying, well, hang on a minute, he's lost four of his last nine.
Yeah.
So clearly on his day he's very good, but he also has his off days and he has them regularly. So I think for me, Batash is always a horse to at least look to get at and oppose. If you can find something to oppose him with, one, and also if he's trading odds on, which is very likely given his past record.
It's interesting that you mention that from a punting perspective, because obviously we are in this radio studio, you know, 7 days a week, and we look at value in perhaps the lesser races. But when it gets to the bigger races, sometimes you are swayed by a horse's reputation as much as anything, and the fact that you know that on his day he can absolutely blow a field apart. But it's interesting that if you were to be backing him week in, week out, every time he was running, he wouldn't be making, well, anything.
You wouldn't be making anything, no. You'd have probably, you might have almost, no, you wouldn't have even broken even.
No.
And but of course, on the back of a really thrilling looking performance like that, that will soon get forgotten about. Mm. And of course, he will be priced up next time in the main on the strength of that performance rather than the four defeats in that nine race sequence.
Mm.
And we need to look at the whole picture.
And similarly, Mum's Tipple was so, so good. And having not had a bet in the race, certainly not backing Mum's Tipple, it was then staggering to just watch that unfold as a complete neutral. In horse racing, it's very rare that you can be neutral. You always seem to have a vested interest in something.
Mm-hmm.
But in that race, but as you said, next time, are you going to want to back Mum's Tipple at the likely prohibitive odds?
Yeah.
He'll have to do it again. Money.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the second and third might come out and finish beaten 11 lengths by two other horses.
Yeah.
And then we might look and might think, well, hang on a minute, this form doesn't stack up. And, you know, we're yet to find out how good Mum's Tipple is. The clock would suggest that it was a very good performance, but the clock, you know, will often suggest that and will often be right. And sometimes, despite running two or three fast times, horses don't come through and fulfil the promise that the clock suggested they would.
Mm.
So, you know, I just remain. For the time being, Mum's Tipple will be probably unbackable, but let's enjoy watching, you know, wherever the horse runs next time.
Yeah. Okay. Any other business from York, or are we going to move on to Worcester now?
No. I just thought it's just worth mentioning, you know, that really, you know, we can all see the exciting performances, and it's whether or not we can actually, you know, from an enjoyment point of view, what a brilliant meeting. From a, you know, what do we find out? What do we learn for next time? If I'm honest, I didn't watch enough of the races closely.
Yeah.
I just watched, you know, one or two per day, and I was busy doing other things. I don't get heavily involved with money.
Yeah.
On flat racing, I make my living in the winter, so it's not something I get too carried away with.
Jumpers more your bag, and we're going to focus on two jumps races at Worcester. In fact, the first race that we're going to discuss is the 5:45. It's not a jumps race; it's a bumper. We have got the customary mid-card bumper at Worcester, but it's quite a good one actually. There's some interesting contenders in here. Not a word of a lie is interesting for owners who are more notably seen on the flat, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Bellatrix Lestrange, who ran perfectly well on her debut, and she'll be one for Harry Potter fans, and plenty of others who actually arrive here off the back of fair debut efforts. It's not a bad little bumper.
Who was going to be a Harry Potter fan?
Bellatrix Lestrange is a character in Harry Potter.
You would know that and I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It meant nothing to me. That would have been a Google for me. But, I've been preparing a blog, a summer jumpers blog for At The Races each week, and I've been following the Nicky Henderson horses closely. And I think he's in, well, A, I think he's been in terrific form for quite some time, but I think he's in better form than his recent stats would suggest. He's only had four runners in the last 2 weeks, just with one winner, so it sort of doesn't shine out in any way. And then I think he had one winner from two or three, but a couple of his horses failed to complete the course. And prior to that, you know, he had a huge percentage strike rate. I think generally the horses he sends out have usually got very good chances. I thought that Crystal Gazing as a next best in the 5:45 looked interesting. She ran well on her debut at Southall, improved on that at Newton Abbott. And I just thought, given the stable, given her, the improvement, her progression, I thought she was very likely to be thereabouts in the 5:45. And, you know, these are races that normally I don't get too financially involved with because there's too many unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been following the Henderson Yard. I thought that this looked like, to be honest, this one and the other one is also a Henderson horse that I'm interested in. If the market allows, I'll probably play a small each way double on the pair.
Okay.
So Crystal Gazing would be the first of those two. The second one is in the next race and will go down as the Nap.
I was going to say, yeah, Jen's Boy is likely to be a pretty short price for the 6:15.
And of course, and that's very easy. I mean, if he's 8 to 11, then there's no each way double, so that's fine. You know, I mean,
yeah.
you've got to. Have the discipline and patience not to participate if it doesn't look. I mean, when I put this on the blog on, it was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
There was 20 entries. We didn't know which way it was going to go. We're down to 5 runners now.
5 at present, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, the tissue price, obviously we're recording this before prices have actually come through, has Jen's Boy heavily odds on. But you never know, because some of the runners in the race, they're no back numbers, are they?
Well, and the other way, you know, the other possibility, what if Crystal Gazing is 4 to 1 and Jen's Boy is even money? Well,
yeah.
You know, if you back the two in each way double and they both come second, you've still got your money back. I'm certainly not averse to doing that sort of bet from time to time.
Okay.
The great thing with Jen's Boy, clearly on the up. I was actually there at Uttoxeter on the 26th of July when he out-battled Court Affairs. He looked beaten all the way up the home straight and really, really looked very resolute in the finish. I felt that he improved significantly on that performance when beating Final Choice last time out. I think he's on the up. He's gone up £6. I don't think his new handicap mark is going to be the variable that stops him continuing in that winning vein. And if the prices allow, if they don't, they don't. If the prices allow, I'll play an each way double on the pair.
If not, would you play a win double?
No, because I think personally, I think Crystal Gazing, that's, you know, that would be too vulnerable for me.
It's not a bad bumper. Yeah,
it's, there's two or three with chances in there. It's more the fact that I think the Henderson team that they're sending out at the moment are all generally going to be competitive and all worth a second look. I think Crystal Gazing will probably be thereabouts, and I think Jen's Boy will be very hard to beat.
Okay. A couple of Nicky Henderson runners then to keep your eye on at Worcester on Wednesday in the 5:45 and the 6:15. Good luck if you are having a bet on Wednesday's action. Make sure you do tune into Racing Radio. Mr. Gibson, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.